Let me begin this morning by saying it is a great pleasure for me to have the opportunity to be with you and to have the opportunity to be a part of this great lectureship program. I have never been here when I did not enjoy every single song and every single prayer and every single lesson and every single word. I have never come and left discouraged attending the South Florida lectureship. You're to be commended for organizing and putting this program on. I do not know if it is best to be nearly the last speaker. As I sit and listen to everyone, I thought about all the wonderful lessons that have been given. I also miss part of myself on this trip. This is one of the few times that Mary Martin has not been with me when I came to Palm Beach Lakes. And I do feel like part of me is not here. I pray that that will not show too much in the presentation today. I must remember the controls. I am left-handed, but I am told if I'm going to use the left hand, I must... Well, I've already got mixed up really bad now. But I am to use the right side. I cannot touch the top. I cannot touch the bottom. I can touch the left if I turn it upside down. But I better remember to touch the right side. I am left-handed, but I am also right-handed. I am thankful to God for that. In Psalms 89 and verse 7, you and I need to remember that God is to be greatly feared. I think that you and I understand that we serve a very awesome God, a God that is to be greatly feared in the presence of the saints, and to be held in reverence by all those around him. What a beautiful description the psalmist give about fearing God. And it is in this way this morning that we are using the word fear in our lesson today. It is a feeling of reverence, awe and respect for the Lord God Almighty. But let me begin by saying the world goes about its activities every day. They just carry on every day without respect and fear for the Lord. All that you have to do is to turn on the TV and you see it. Turn on the radio and you hear it. Pick up the newspaper and you read it. You read it. It is not something that we do not know and understand as being in the assembly, the ecclesia of God. We know, we understand that the world does not fear God. This is not something that is new. It's as old as going all the way back to the world in Noah's day. Just think about it. The thoughts of man was evil continually, Genesis chapter 6. When you zero in on 5 and 7, you understand that in Noah's day, they did not fear God. They did not respect and reverence God as the awesome God that he was. When you look at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, you see it again. There was not that respect for Almighty God. You come into the New Testament in Paul's day and Timothy's day, and again you see, so we're not facing something that the assembly of the saints of God, we are not facing something that God's redeemed of old did not face, are we? We're not. We're facing the very same thing, and for that very reason, not me, but this lesson is very important this morning. That within the assembly of the saints and radiating out from the assembly of the saints, you and I must show and speak and tell of the awesome God that we live and serve daily. Now, let's begin by more detail looking at a definition of the fear of the Lord. I love Bible definitions. Many years ago, Brother Franklin Kemp would say, "Fellas, you can't go wrong with a Bible definition of anything." I amen that strongly and believe that with all of my heart. Number one, we find that the definition of the fear of the Lord is clean. That is, it is pure. Psalms 19 and verse 9. Secondly, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to never esteem it, to never look in a generous way on it, but really to put it in the right place that it is. Brethren, we need to detest and hate evil, Proverbs 8 and verse 13. Thirdly, Proverbs 9 and 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of being very wise." So we are beginning to now see the definition of how this word fear is used. Proverbs 14 and verse 27, "The fear of the Lord is," and listen to this, how we should rejoice and thank God, "the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life." Brethren, if we want to have a gracious, marvelous, and an abundant life, you and I must learn to fear the Lord. Now, as we think about the heart of this lesson, the fear of the Lord will lead to certain things. And I must move along in the lesson this morning. Please stay with me. Number one, it will lead to the right kind of knowledge. I prefer to call this godly knowledge. This is the reason that you and I need to reach out and, first of all, live for and serve and teach others about God and His Word. If we're going to change this world, we must instill in the world and everyone that we can that godly knowledge, that number one, that godly knowledge really comes from God Himself. Notice Psalms 94 and 10. "Blessed is the man who you instruct, O Lord." The only way to have godly knowledge is to listen to the instructions of the Almighty. Brethren, there is no substitute for this book. There is no substitute for this book in our lives or in the lives of the world. So godly knowledge comes from God Himself. Secondly, it comes from the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15, "From the childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures." Listen to this. "Which are able to make you wise to salvation." Brethren, no one wants to be damned. No one desires to be condemned. No one desires to go to hell and spend eternity with the devil and his angels in a burning hell. I don't. I don't believe that anyone that is able to reason and think desires to go there. Well, because of that, we need to listen to God and we need to listen to the Holy Scriptures. Secondly, we learn that our attitude is very important in really developing the right kind of knowledge. Number one, we need to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3 and 18. Peter would say in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 that we, for this reason, we need to give all diligence. I love this word diligence. It means like an athlete will really, really extend every part of his body to the limit to get the job done. You and I need to have that so that we can add knowledge to our lives. If we're going to fear God as the awesome God that He is, walk in his ways, serve him daily, we're going to have to keep adding knowledge to our lives. Now, a third thing that we see, the value of knowledge. We've seen where knowledge comes from. We've seen also our attitude toward knowledge. But really, how's it profitable? What is the value of knowledge? Number one, the Proverbs writer will say in Proverbs 8 and verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies. You see, wisdom is the outgrowth of knowledge. Amen? It is the outgrowth of knowledge. You can't have wisdom, godly wisdom, without godly knowledge. So when you see wisdom in this, you must look deeper and farther and understand it is knowledge. In Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 5, we see again the value of knowledge. We need to increase in it. A man of knowledge increases in strength. Although I am a sinner, and after many years I am still a sinner, I feel closer to God and stronger in the Lord by the grace of God. And by the help of God and by the help of His Word. You see, a godly man will increase in strength as his knowledge of God's Word increases. And so we see the source of godly knowledge, we see our attitude toward godly knowledge, and also the value of knowledge. Now let's go to the second point of our lesson this morning. Second point. And the second thing that you and I need to understand as we live for God and serve Him daily, that godly fear will lead to wisdom. See, this wisdom is an outgrowth of godly knowledge. Godly knowledge will lead to that godly wisdom. Again, I'm going to follow the same line of thinking. What is the source of heavenly wisdom? Not worldly wisdom. We've already seen in this lectureship that the wisdom of the world only leads to destruction and ruin. Number one, the source of heavenly wisdom is the Lord Himself. You know, one of the things that you will see in all these things, you will see that the Lord is the beginning source of knowledge and now in wisdom. In Exodus chapter 36 and verse 2, these selected men by Moses, they were selected because, and look at the end of this verse, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. Brethren, we got a cold heart and a neglectful heart and really a dead heart, we're not going to work. If we do not have a stirred heart, a moving heart, and a working heart, we're going to cheat ourselves out of the Lord putting wisdom in our heart. I don't mean coming to church on Sunday morning. How much does your attendance drop on Sunday night? You see, you cheat yourself out of that godly knowledge that leads to that heavenly wisdom and the Lord placing it, that heavenly wisdom in your heart. You see, we need to live for Jesus and serve Him on a daily basis. I'm always thankful to God for all those people that serve behind the scenes. Thought about all the people that put this lectureship together. And those that were never up teaching, leading a prayer, making announcements, leading the singing, but I'm telling you, without those ones that are serving Him daily behind the scenes, this lectureship could not be fulfilled with the success it is. And so we see that the Lord is the source of that heavenly wisdom. Secondly, again, it is God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 6, therefore be careful to observe them. He's talking about the laws, the statutes, God's Word. Therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom. You see, we must know this book, and we must put the application of this book in our lives because this is God's Word. I love preachers and teachers who fill their lessons and sermons with this word. Because in this word is the knowledge of God and is that heavenly wisdom that we all need. You know, we can tell a lot of stories. We can give a lot of illustrations, and they're good. But there's nothing more superior than this word. Because it is the Lord, and it is that which will produce knowledge and wisdom in our lives. Now, what should be our attitude about wisdom? What should be our attitude about wisdom? Number one, it should be that we would want to acquire this wisdom. Well, in order to have this wisdom, we must know this book. Amen? Amen? We've got to know this book. You don't know this book. You don't have the knowledge of this book. You're not going to have the Lord putting wisdom into your heart and into your life. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it." Not only should we acquire this wisdom and need this wisdom in order to successfully live for Jesus and serve Him daily, successfully, so that we might go to heaven, we need to be increasing in it. Luke 2:52, what a great example our Savior is. And Jesus increased in wisdom. Well, if Jesus needed to increase in wisdom, I promise you this morning that all of us need to increase in wisdom. I don't do too good a time. Brother, just nail that down for a moment. I don't do too good a job watching the time. And I don't pay much attention to translators because I've used them a lot in the Pacific, and I just, expect and know that they will keep up with me in what I'm doing, and I'm sure that you'll do likewise also. Thirdly, we see the value of wisdom. Wisdom, knowledge is very valuable, and also wisdom. Oh, how we need that wisdom. It, number one, will give happiness in our life. Listen to this, Proverbs 3:13. Listen to it. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. You know, many times I'm always trying to do things, and the longer I'm separated from Mary, the more I try to do it. Now work that out. I always try to do it. So I was far away, and we were going through a lot of things with the suffering of our eldest son, Steve Martin, who all of you know. And Steve's health was at a very critical point. And I don't know, I just got to thinking about it. I need to be very supportive. And Mary and I were on the phone at the request of our elders every day during that period. And so I got in that mindset, and I said to Mary, what one thing, Judy, listen to this. What one thing would you change about me if you could? Quickly, she said, can I take 10 or 15? I love trying to make Mary very happy. She's really, you know, it's the Lord and Mary that really is what lifts me up and moves me on in all that I do for Him. I'm not ashamed to say that. I want to make her happy. Well, if we want to make the Lord happy, we're going to have to find that wisdom. And the only way to have that wisdom is to have that knowledge that will produce. You know what? We should never have to be begged and pleaded with and motivated and other things to get to come back on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Shame, shame on us, shame on us. That we would have to be done that way when the very Bible itself says that knowledge and wisdom comes from the Lord and from the Holy Scriptures. You know what? Maybe there are those here this morning. And I'm not about to start offering the invitation. I just want you to start thinking, okay? But there may be those here this morning who have neglected the Bible study Sunday morning and also not come back Sunday night, not come back on Wednesday night, and maybe you have not been here for any of this lectureship. Now, if you're not sick or you're not dead And you have not had something that is totally stand in your way that you could not help, I'm telling you, you need to make that right with God today. You don't need to leave here because you cannot be happy and something just happened. I don't know what happened, fellas. Wake you up. Yeah, thank you very much. I went too long on it, I suppose. But nevertheless, in order to be happy, you must be able to have wisdom in your life. Number one, number two, it will keep us from evil. Listen to this. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, my word, that you may preserve discretion. That is, keep yourself from evil. You know, the way you and I keep ourselves from evil is that you and I keep ourselves in the word, that you and I keep ourselves near to the Lord. We live for him and we serve him daily. Now, the third part of our lesson this morning is that the fear of God will lead to true riches. Going to follow the same thing. What is the source of true riches? Number one, it is the Lord. Romans 10 and verse 12. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for they're the same. Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Brethren, we're the richest people in the world. My father is the king, and my father owns everything in this world. All the beautiful trees are mine because they're my father's. You see, I enjoy true riches in life because they come from my Lord. Number two, they come from true riches come from God's word. Listen to this. Psalms 119 and verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way. Listen to this. I have rejoiced. I am happy in the way of your testimonies, your law, your statutes, your word. You know what makes us really happy? And the older you get, and the more you understand the necessity of the Lord and his word, and dwelling in both of them, the happier that you will become. You see, true riches come from the Lord and from God's word. Now, what should be our attitude about true riches? You know, our attitude is very important. Am I right? You know, the psalmist would say, the writer of Proverbs and many other Old Testament writers, especially in Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, his mind, so is he. You know, we're no better than what we think right here. We are what we think. Our attitude is very important. What should be our attitude? Number one, be humble toward riches. Listen to this. And one who makes himself, listen to this, poor yet has great riches. Proverbs 13 and verse 7. You want to be rich? You understand how poor you are. You be humble about it, and God will lift you up. He will exalt you and make you very rich. Number two, our attitude toward riches, by humility, and here it is, the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 22 and 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Don't always think you're the greatest thing God ever put on this earth. Don't ever think you're better than everybody else. Don't ever think you're above everybody else. Don't ever think that you're the greatest thing that God ever placed on this earth in any way. And then the Lord will lift you up, give you honor, and give you that eternal life that you deserve. Now, what is the value of riches? We've seen the source of it, the attitude we need to have. Now, the value of true riches. Proverbs 14 and 27 says, it is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to avoid the snares of death. Proverbs 14, 27. You see, when we realize that we live for and that we serve an awesome God, respect him and revere him, then a fountain of life will truly be ours to enjoy. Secondly, it gives life. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But listen to this. Here's the contrast. Ecclesiastes writer says, the preacher says, but the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom, there the connection is, knowledge and wisdom, is that wisdom gives life. We're not talking about just physical life, but that abundant life. And we have it when we have that knowledge and that wisdom. And we're able to take the riches that God blesses us with, and we're able to use them for His honor and His glory. And then the fourth thing that we will have, that the fear of the Lord will lead to, it will lead to the respect for God's eternal precepts. Have you noticed one thing in this lesson? It all starts right here. It all ends up right here, amen? It all begins with the Lord. It all begins with His Word. And that's where it ends up. Respect for God's eternal precepts. Now, Proverbs 12 and verse 26. Proverbs 12 and 26 says, for the righteous, that is those who are right with God, they are God's redeemed, the righteous shall choose his friends carefully. I have people that I know, and they are friends in the world, but that's as far as it goes. My best friends, Mary and I were talking about this just lately, that our best friends and our friends that will help us live for Jesus and serve Him daily are our church friends. You know, your best friends, your highest and your best friends need to be your church friends. The righteous shall choose his friends carefully. There is great wisdom in choosing our friends very, very carefully. Now, I want to say a word here. Probably don't need to, but I'm going to say it nevertheless. Those that are elders, those that are deacons, those that are Bible school teachers, and I'm going to get all of you, and those that are soul winners, and especially preachers, they need to make sure that they choose their friends very carefully. I know preacher after preacher that did not choose their friends carefully, and today they're walking the ways of denominationalism, living that life and serving in that way. How sad it is. Proverbs 14 and 21 says, my son, fear the Lord and the king. Listen to this. And these are words of wisdom. Do not associate, that is that joint participation, that intimate relationship with those given to change. Those that are tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine. We need to be very careful. Those that are unstable in their ways. You know what? We're looking for trouble and possible disaster spiritually if we do that very thing. Respect for God's eternal precepts, very important. 1 Corinthians 15:33, already been used in the lectureship, but worthy of our looking at again. Evil company corrupts good habits. Brethren, this is no joke. It's just the truth. You want to be evil? Hang around evil people, and it'll rub off, and it'll catch on to you yourself. The same thing is true with elders and deacons, Bible school teachers, soul winners, and especially preachers. We might say, well, this other preacher is a good man. And we need to go back to the Bible definition of good. Now, they may be a person that would not lie or steal or cheat, but we need to understand the biblical definition for good and right with God upright in the sight of God. And if for that reason we will do that, we will understand where they are. And that never gives us the right to be mean-spirited or belligerent or hateful or hurtful or piercing to them. But we need to remember who they are and what they are and where they stand. And on the contrast, who we are, what we are, and where we stand. Choosing your friends according to these eternal precepts, very important. And our association with those that are tossed about by every wind and doctrine and are not very stable even in life, those people, we need to be careful with that intimate relationship with them. I love Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. And as Moses will give over the command to Joshua, that great warrior will take command of Israel. What words that Moses will speak to him. God is saying to Joshua, you have got a great job to do for me. Through Moses, he will say, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right or do not turn to the left. Brethren, we don't need to go to the right of this word. It contains all the knowledge that we need. We do not need to go to the right or the left of this word. It contains all the wisdom that we need to help others so that they may join us in heaven someday. Be careful who we associate with. Be careful to associate. Do not associate with those that are given to change. Brethren, we need to watch our lives and ourselves very carefully. Now, in Joshua chapter 24, in verses 14 and 15, now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. You see, it's not only said in the Psalms and in Proverbs, but throughout the Bible, the exhortation to you and I as God's elect, God's redeemed today, we are to fear the Lord. I like to say, live for Jesus and serve Him every day of our life. And it begins with the truth of His Word, the knowledge, and the wisdom. Then He says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. You know, many years ago, Mary and I made a decision. And we were just young lady and a young man. We decided in 1962 that we would stand up and be counted for the Lord. I tell you this morning, if you've been laying back, if you've been sitting back, and you've not been living for Jesus and serving Him every day of your life, how we ever got the idea that just coming Sunday morning is enough, I do not understand. You can make the correction this morning. It is time we stand up and be counted. It is decision time. You need to say, whose side am I really showing by my life and my service? Whose side am I really on? I'm going to tell you, every one of us in this building this morning, every one of us must make a choice. Right now, today, while we stand and sing, we need to make that choice.